Blessings, friends. Pastor Nick here today. We are continuing with our study in the book of Jonah, our Nesting with Jesus reading. We actually have moved on in Nesting with Jesus into the book of Lamentations, which I got to indulge myself into this morning. And what a great word. And for you that are following along with us in our Nesting with Jesus readings, we read one chapter a day in a particular Bible book, whether that be in the Old Testament or the Newer Testament. The only time we read more than one chapter in a particular day in our reading is when we're reading through the Psalms. Then we read five a day so that we can read all the Psalms within a given month. But in Lamentations, if you're reading with us, let me just share this with you. I would encourage you to fail not. I know Lamentations is heavy. The books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and these Older Testament prophets for whom God sent to his people, as with Jonah to the Ninevites, was as a consequence of people abiding and living and loving their sinful ways. And God in his compassion sends a messenger to them, and those messages are often unwanted. They are often misunderstood. They're often to be seen as a negative word when they're actually a positive word to expose where men are, to enlighten them on the fact that God is willing to grant them forgiveness and repentance and restore them and do a mighty work in their life. Granted, they will still reap some of the consequences of that bad seed, but they can turn that around and start sowing seeds of righteousness. But when you read Jeremiah, or you read Lamentations, the author of Jeremiah, don't fail to get a glimpse of the horrible judgment that we're reading about that fell upon Jerusalem and upon Judah, upon the people of these cities and land, and how they were taken away and so many died, and this desolation that was left there as a consequence of their vileness and their sin. Keep in mind, this is a minute scale. This is incomparable in all reality of the horrific judgment and the wrath that fell upon Jesus at the cross when he laid willfully and joyfully, delightfully to the Father as a sacrifice, laid his life down for you and I, and became a substitute, taking upon our sins and the judgment of those sins and the wrath of those sins upon the cross of Calvary, so that when we entrust ourselves to him, when we believe him and we treasure him by faith, that is transferred. His life of righteousness is transferred to our lives because he bore our judgment and our death and our wrath and our sin. He was not with sin. Sin was placed upon him. So God poured out his judgment upon Jesus, the judgment of all our sins upon Jesus, so that he could reconcile us, forgive us justly, lovingly, mercifully, that those sins were paid for justly in Christ, so that we could be free to love, cherish, believe, devote, and justifiably live our life for his glory and follow his lead. So when you read the horrible and horrific things that took place to Judah and Jerusalem and how they are pictured and what's going on, just keep in mind, it's minute in the scale of all our sins being poured out upon the Lamb of God so that we could be set free and saved. Jonah was sent to Nineveh to help a city who was perishing in their sin. God brought a great awakening. He turned them to him, Jonah is upset. He is reaping the consequences of his life, of where he sowed so long this bad seed of self-centered living, where he had hope in hopeless things, where he tried to protect that. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go down the street. He didn't want to go anywhere from God. He says these words, "I may not be helpful, but I'm not hurtful. I am harmless. I am harmless, so leave me alone. I found hope in something else." You could have done what you've done in Nineveh with somebody else. Jonah did not want to go. And boy, that pictures many, many of us today. We have trouble going to our neighbor who's in need. We have trouble going through our communities, or even we have trouble going to a church that is just down the street from us that God has already put in our heart. That's the place He wants us to be, and that's the people He wants us to be with. So we got to be careful about mocking Jonah, because we have done the very same thing, as if we have the right to determine what we do, where we go, how we go about going wherever we go. And we set up this criteria of what does this group of people have to offer me. It's always about me. But that's not the case for a kingdom-minded thinker. That's not the case for somebody who is surrendered and entrusting themselves as missionaries, as disciples and disciple makers on assignment for the Lord, that He has given me a group of people in a particular place to go invest what He's put in me in them. It's not what they have to offer me as much as what I have to offer them. And that's the right kind of kingdom mindset that we need. There's so many in our day, so many in our lives that are very similar to Jonah. They're not harmful. They're not hurtful. They are harmless people, but they just are not beneficial. They're not helpful in the kingdom because they've put their lot and their hope in things that just does not have life within it. And we need to be the instruments that God helps to use to restore such a person back to the place of abiding in the nest with Jesus, back to the place of being connected to Him in the vine. I think if you followed me for any extended period of time, you would recognize that I personally believe it's impossible to intimately be connected to Jesus and be disconnected from His people. It just doesn't work that way. To be connected to Jesus is to be connected to the brethren. And He has put truth in us and transformed us so that we can have a love for the people of God. Not because they're perfect. It's not because they are better than other people. No, it's because God's put His DNA in us, and He loves the people that He shed His blood for. And I know in the visible church, not everyone in the body of the visible church belongs to the body of Christ, that invisible church. But we have a desire to be part of the life of a fellowship, to invest in it, to give our life to serve. And what we see with Jonah is that here he is, he's having these pity parties, he's upset over what's going on. He's asking God 1 minute to kill him, and then God gives him a plant, and that plant provides some relief for him, and God gave it to him to relieve him of his misery. He was in a miserable state, and God never gives us something so that we'll feel sorry for ourselves. Everything God does for us is to enrapture our thoughts toward Him, our affections toward Him, our eyes of faith toward Him. Never an inward thing. That's the enemy. That the enemy wants you to look inward, wants you to look at your circumstances and let it manipulate and control you, whereas God wants to get our eyes up upon Him, to look to Him so that He can set the race before us, that we can run it with joy, that we can cast off anything that besets us or holds us back with our eyes fixed on Jesus as our example. And what we find with Jonah is just the opposite of that. His circumstances, the situations that he